Isaiah. I want you to look in the book of Isaiah. I'm thinking about singing that song that we just sang at Beulah Land, and I don't know, it seems like a lot of times when I think of that, I do think about Sister Connie's Aunt Frances. I think about her, and I just ran across a little thing this morning that was a little bookmark, and it said to Flossie. It was a bookmark that Sister Frances, it said to Flossie from Frances. And I thought, man, there's two ladies that, hey, they're not worried about what we're doing this morning. I guarantee you that. Amen. Well, they probably hadn't stopped talking yet. That may be the truth. Amen. Well, look in Isaiah chapter number 28 with me. And if you will, jump down in your Bible to verse number 14. And we're going to read there just a little bit. So, of course, the book of Isaiah has a whole lot to say to the nation of Israel, obviously. Isaiah is one of the main prophets of Israel. And as he prophesies to Israel, his prophecy, of course, takes the turn of repent. You know, he's telling them to repent, get right, and change out some things. And you can read through chapter number 28. He begins to talk in chapter number 28, the very beginning of it. He's talking to some of those that are in the places of leadership. And he talks about, the crown of pride, if you look in verse number 1 there. Those that are the drunkards of Ephraim. And he goes, I mean, he really gets rough with them about what they are doing and what position they hold and how that they are living below the standard they ought to be, okay? Boy, isn't that a message we could preach today? Isn't that something we could say today about the standard? But I want you to look on down in verse number 14 now. And you know, you can go back and look and study and do all this you want to. There's a lot in here that is prophetic. And probably as we get into what we're going to be reading this morning, a lot of it is prophetic. But I want you to just take it and let's just apply it practically to us today. Okay? Verse number 14. Isaiah says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we're in agreement. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you again for your love and your mercy on us. Thank you for the good time of worship that we've enjoyed thus far. And I pray we'd just worship you with your word and thank you for all of your saints and all that's been done and all the praise that we might be able to give you today, that it'll never be enough. But Lord, may we start, may we continue, may we bless your name, may we praise you. God, if there's somebody here today and they need salvation, please speak to their hearts, draw them to a place of redemption in you. And again, we'll just simply give you praise and thanks and glory and honor for everything you're doing. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey man, I want to ask you this question this morning. This is kind of the thought of the hour and of these verses that we look at. Can you stand on what you got? Can you stand on what you got? Now, when you begin to look through all of this, as I say, these chapters and Isaiah has been talking to maybe you look at it and say he's talking to the political people, and that is who he's really talking to, because you see, as I say there in verse number 1, those that he talks about the crown of pride, those that are in the place of rulership wearing the crown of pride. And he says verse number 3, the crown of pride and the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot. And he said, I'm telling you, these things that you are looking at, the things that you are trusting in, they're not going to work and they're not eternal. And that's what he says there in verse number 14 about. He said, you scornful people, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. He said, your heart's not right. Your thinking's not right. Your attitude and your ways are not right before God. He said, and listen, he said, here's what you've said. In so many words. Now, they did not necessarily say it this way, but they say, we've made a covenant with death and with hell. We're in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. He said, you think that you've made a deal with Satan. You made a deal with the devil. That's exactly what they think they've done. Can I tell you, the world today, and I know this is, as I say again, this is a little prophetic, because eventually one of these days, this is what's going to happen to Israel. They're going to make a deal, and it's going to seem like, boy, we've hit the jackpot, there's peace, and everybody's doing good and everything. But I'm telling you, all of that's going to be swept away in just a very short period of time. And if you know anything about your history, about Revelation, Daniel, Jeremiah, any of those Old Testaments, Ezekiel, when you begin to read them, you see that that's what this is all about, is that one day this is going to happen. One day Israel is going to be in league, and one day it's going to look like, man, everything is going right. But that's only going to last for so long. But here the Lord tells them, he said, you think something is true. You have made yourself a covenant. He said, you made a covenant with death. You've co-signed with hell. And you're just convinced that the lie is the truth. And can I tell you, that's where we are today, right? I mean, it seems like, I don't care where you want to go, that the whole world is under this assumption that, boy, we've made a deal, and the deal is sweet, and the deal's going to work, and the deal is just, man, it's just fantastic. And all the while, it's trying to be a deal with Satan. Amen. Anytime you make a deal with Satan, you're in trouble, amen? You take a deal with the devil, it's not going to work. Can I tell you what does work, though? You see what he says? I mean, the Lord said, look, here's what you've done. Here's what you think. Here's where your mind is in thinking these things. And I'll tell you, there are people like that today. Rolling along pretty good, preacher. Everything going good with us. We all doing okay. And I've made a deal out here with the world. I've made a deal, if you will, with the devil. I've made a deal. And boy, I'm going to be taken care of. And you know what you're doing? You're putting your trust in a bunch of lies. You're thinking, oh, this is all going to work for my good. Brother, let me just tell you, it's going to be exactly what it is here. If you look down there in verse number 18, the Bible says this, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. It ain't going to work. But can I tell you what he did say? Now, he talked about there making a deal with the devil. But look what he says in verse number 16. The Lord says, I'm giving you an alternative that you can stand on. Therefore, he says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Oh, there's no error in this stone. Amen. I don't know a whole lot about building. I don't know. I remember again when we built this building, when this building was being constructed, and we were in the little former church down there. Some of y'all remember it, some of you may not, but it was just a little old shotgun straight building, and it was attached to that little building that you see down there. There was a little hallway that attached the two buildings. And the other one, they tell me that was built either in the late 40s, early 50s, whatever it was. And like I say, it was just kind of just bang, a straight shot building. It was, every how many feet wide, 20-something feet wide, I guess, and probably 50 foot long, whatever it was, just a little old building there, run down there. And as you went in, they used to tell me, they'd say, now you be careful when you go over where Sister Betty's playing the organ at that time. And they said, you be careful when you go over where Sister Betty's at, because you'd stand on the carpet and I'd kind of do this. And they say, you're going to fall through if you ain't careful. Don't get excited over there, because, preacher, you'll be on the ground. And I'm like, man, what's... And that building was just going to pieces. I mean, it was just falling apart. So they said, we need to build a building. So we got up here and we start building this building. And as I say, I don't know much about it, but when we'd come every Sunday, every Wednesday when they start, and the first thing they did was they laid this foundation. I come up here and I'd look at that, man. It was just a solid mass of concrete as far around as you could see. It was just poured concrete. They had put, you know, some soil or that old foundry sand or something was underneath there. I mean, they'd poured that in there. And then they come in and they packed that down and they poured that concrete on it. And I'd come up here and I'd look at it and I'd say, man, I can't see it yet, but God's going to build something here, you know. And I'd get on it and I'd do this. And I'd look at it and I'd say, I ain't going through that, hallelujah. I mean, it was solid. It was sure. It was absolute. And, man, I'm just telling you, we'd get together and we'd just praise God and thank God for what he was doing. Because, let me just tell you, anytime you get ready to build, you need an absolute foundation. I mean, you've got to have a foundation. And that's what the Lord said that he did. He said, look, you're trusting in something that is a pack of lies. You're trusting in something that's not going to make it. You're trusting in something that's going to go away. He said, but I want to tell you, I'm giving you an alternative. Thus saith the Lord, he said, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. Let's talk about that this morning just for a little bit. I mean, I want you to notice that God has laid something in Zion. I mean, the Lord was foretelling even through Isaiah at this time. This is still 700 years before Jesus is going to be born. This is still a great long while before it ever comes to fruition. But he's telling the story here that he's going to build something that'll never go anywhere. It'll be a foundational. He said it's so founded, it's founded, and it will be called a stone. You see what he says? A stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He won't run away from it. He won't get off it. He won't have anywhere nor want anywhere else that he ought to go. Amen? I mean, the Lord himself is providing this stone for me and you. Now, do you notice what it talks about? He talks about this being a stone. And as such, I want you to know, hey, it's the cornerstone. Now, again, as I say, I don't know a whole lot about building, but I do know this. There is one stone that builders will say is the cornerstone of a building. And when they begin to build with the outside or whatever it is as they're building, hey, that cornerstone's got to be right or nothing else will fit. Amen? I mean, nothing else works. You can do it. You can fix it. You can work on it. But I'll tell you, it'll always be out of kilter. It'll always be off center. It'll always be out of square. It will never work until you come to the place where you've got a good foundation and a true cornerstone. Something that you can build on and around. You've got to have that. What I'm saying is this, today you can have churches, you can have buildings, you can have people, you can have preachers, you can have programs, you can have all of that, but if you don't have something to build on and around, it will surely fail and fall flat. You got to have something. Well, what is that? Well, that's what the Lord says right here. I'm going to lay something that is going to be a foundation. That's something that you can have for all of eternity. Aren't you glad that's what Jesus is to those of us that know him? He is this true and sure foundation. So let's look at this, as if you will, this morning. And notice, first of all, I want you to notice he calls it a foundation stone, or we'll say a foundational stone. This is a foundational stone that God is laying when he's building this whole thing. Amen. When Jesus is building his church, he talks to his disciples about building his church. Brother Ronnie's been teaching in our Sunday school class about some days that the devil hated to see come. Today he talked about the church. If you remember over in the book of Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples, he's asking them, he's saying, who do men say that I am? And some of them said, you're this and you're that, and they think you're one of the prophets, they think you're a great teacher, a great blah, 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 whatever. And he said, who do you say that I am? Peter looks squarely at him and says, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus looks at him and he said, thou hast answered correctly. He said, you said the right thing, Peter. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. He said, but my Father which is in heaven revealed that to you. He said, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail again. What's he saying? He's saying, here is the foundational stone that you've got to build on. I mean, the Bible says right here, God's going to lay a foundational stone. God is laying a foundational stone inside. And I'm telling you, it is a foundational stone. What I'm saying is this, your church, your belief, your life has got to be founded upon this rock. It's got to be on. If it's on something, you say, oh, preacher, I'm a glad member of Old Bethel Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Thank you for being part of that and praise God for it. But I'm telling you, that will not get you to heaven any more than anything else in this world. You've got to be founded on that rock. You've got to put everything you've got. Why is it? Well, as a foundational stone, I want you to know this stone is founded, and more than anything, as foundationally, it's founded in truth. It's founded in truth. I want you to know when you're looking at the church, and you're looking at what God has done, you see that it's all founded upon Jesus Christ. Every bit of it's founded. You know what Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3? He said, other foundation can no man lay than that that is laid. There's only one true foundation. There's just one true foundation. There's people who come to me before and they say, preacher, you know, don't you think the Muslims are okay because they sincerely believe what they believe? My answer to that is no. Sincerity does not matter before God. What matters before God is truth. It's eternal truth. Let me tell you this. When you've got a foundation, it's got to be a true foundation. I mean, it's got to be, and what I'm talking about is this foundation's got to be the truth that you're standing on. As I said, this right here is a solid foundation. All of this poured concrete, it's a solid foundation. Hadn't broke yet. Been here about 30 years, and it hadn't gone anywhere yet. Isn't that, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good, but I want to tell you, I know something that'll stand a further test of time than that. Amen. I know something that'll be there for eternity, and it is the truth that God has given us. What are you saying? I'm saying, first of all, this is a truth that you can stand on. If you'll just take your shoes off, I mean, you can keep them on, whatever you want to do, you can stand on this truth from God. This is an eternal truth. It's a truth that you can stand on. What does it mean you can stand? It means that whatever he says, however he's built, brother, it will not let you down. This truth is going to stand. Do you know this truth has stood the tests of time? I mean, this truth has, and it has come through some fires. It has come through some trouble. It has come through some wars. But thank God, you know what? It's still standing. Amen. It's still standing. Can I tell you, emperors have tried to stomp it out. Nero over in the olden days of Rome, when Nero was the emperor, you know what he did? He took the Christians out and he put them into the Colosseums and he said, if you do not renounce your Christ and pronounce me as your God, we're going to turn the lines loose on you. They'd look up at him and they'd say, Jesus is Lord. Amen. They said, okay, well, let's let the lines out, boys. You know what? Those folks would go to their deaths believing in Christ Jesus as Lord. They say that Nero would behead the Christians. He would have an axe man, and they would behead the Christians. That's why Paul died, as a matter of fact. His head was cut off. But you know what happened? Nero would take those heads, and they said that he would light pathways and roads down through the streets of Rome with the heads of those Christians that would not renounce their faith. But can I tell you, they're shouting her out in heaven. They said, hey, Nero, you may be having a ball down there. You may have beheaded us. You may have done all you could against us. But let me tell you, Jesus is still Lord. Amen. You know, they had something they could stand on. Amen? I mean, can you imagine that? Do you know that there are dozens of writers in the Bible? Dozens of people that have written the Bible. Not just Paul and not just Mark, Luke, and John. There's dozens of them. You can go through there and you'll see a lot of them, of course, are named for the man that wrote the book. And you'll see some of them, several of them written by Moses, and some of them written, of course, by Joshua. And you see the Psalms that has a conglomerate of David and Moses and all the other people that have written the songs that were compiled into the Psalmery. I mean, you've got all of that. And you know what they all do? They all agree on one thing, that Jesus is the foundation of everything. So I'm saying you've got to have a foundation. You've got to have a foundation. You've got to have a foundation that is true, that is built on truth, that is nothing but truth. Amen? You know, when you used to, I don't know if they still do it or not, used to when you went into court, they said, you promise to tell truth, whole truth, nothing but truth. So help you God? I do. Amen? Can I tell you, God has never done anything but told you the truth. He's told you, he's given you the truth. And as I said, this is a truth. This is a truth that stands, and it's still standing today. It's a truth that's not shifting and not shaking. It's a truth. It's not going anywhere. It's not been moved. It's not been jostled. A lot of things, but can I tell you, foundation ain't got a crack in it. You ever find those at your home? If you stay on television long enough, they'll try to convince every one of you that, you know, something's wrong with your foundation at your house, right? You ever see those commercials? Have you got unlevel concrete? Have you got cracks on your wall? Have you got your trim work is all shifted, all that? You know, they're trying to convince you that your foundation's messed up. And in a lot of places, in a lot of times, that's probably true. I can go in my house and I can find them. You can go in your house and you can find them. Can I tell you, when you go in this house that the Lord has established, you won't find one little crack. You won't find one little shift. You won't find one little thing that has separated in any way, because God has done it, and he's done it eternally. I'm talking about a foundation, a foundational stone that we are built upon. Jesus' blood is ever as faithful today as it's always been. Jesus' word is always as good today as it's always been. Hey, I'm telling you, this thing is eternal and it is true. It's a foundational stone. But not only does he talk about a foundational stone, I want you to notice he talks about a faithful stone. You see that? He says in verse number 16, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. But second of all, he says a tried stone. Can I tell you, this stone's faithful. This stone is not only true, but it's faithful. It's a faithful stone. I mean, what do you mean? I'm telling you, this thing will never fail. He said it's tried. You try. Can I tell you, thousands upon thousands and millions have tried it in time past, and it's never failed them. It's never failed them. Hey, we didn't have to add anything to it. We haven't had to change it. We haven't had to update it. We haven't had to do anything to it. It's still the same. God hadn't, as I said the other day, they send addendums to a lot of books and works and things. If you work somewhere, they'll send you a booklet that says, we got some updated information for you about, you know, this product or about this item or whatever it is that you're dealing with. They'll send you something, say, we got some updated information. Something's changed. Somehow, hey, God hadn't changed his mind in a thing about this word right here all down through these ages. It's been tried, and you can trust it, and you can take it to the bank, friend. It's a tried stone. It is something that is faithful. It'll never fail. Do you know what? Saints have stood on this thing down through the ages, and it's never let them down. The saints have been on it. The saints have sung about it. The saints have preached about it. The saints have told others about it. And I'm telling you, it's never failed, and it's never let them down at some time, anytime during history. Amen? Tell you this thing will never fade. It's not going to fade out. Oh, I know. You look at some things and the edges of it, you know, some foundation begin to crumble. Some of the rocks will begin to deteriorate. Some of the mortar between them will begin to decay and fall apart. I'm here to tell you, this thing today is ever as solid as it's ever. It's not going to fade out. Isn't it amazing how that God always has a people? This thing doesn't fade out. I've seen times, and you know, maybe it's not so much as it is today, or was in days gone by. But used to, man, you had folks that would come and enjoy fellowship, enjoy meeting, enjoy going to church, and you think, oh no, one of these days that's going to fail. All them folks are going to die off. All that's going to be gone. You know what? God just keeps replacing them, doesn't he? He just keeps sending more and more and more and more and more. Keep getting saved, getting in the church. This thing hadn't faded out. Paul said, you've got a hope which is sure. You've got a hope that'll let you stand. You've got a hope that is steadfast. Can I tell you, folks still realize the hope is in Jesus Christ, and it is not fading away. You know, there's things that have faded out in time past, right? Amen? I mean, things have gone the right. Now, y'all might find this hard to believe, but when I was a kid, hula hoops were in style. Y'all remember that? Huh? Yeah, right. Hallelujah. Y'all remember hula hoops? Well, yeah. I could then. I could jump a jump rope, too. But you just don't hear too much about it nowadays. Well, preacher, we're into video games. Yeah, I know. Video games probably got people on doing a hula hoop right today. But I'm telling you, those things, they're fads. They come and they fade out. You know, I see stuff every once in a while. Y'all, any of y'all remember clackers? Woo! You know, break your face. You get that thing to going pretty hard, and it'll come back and slap you if you're not careful. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Good, you don't want to know what I'm talking about. Amen? We went through a phase there where, you know, everybody wanted to be a ninja. Y'all remember that, ninja? Right, everybody wanted to be one. Get them little stars and throw them at each other, and somebody's going to get hurt before it's over with, right? I'm glad a lot of those things have faded out. But can I tell you, this right here has never faded. Oh, and there's people that have thought that. Oh, they'll get over that after a while. Matter of fact, they've told people that were Christians. They said, oh, he'll get over that after a while. You get on the right foundation and you'll never get over it. It'll be a part of you. It'll be on the inside of you. It is something that you can stand upon, and you don't ever go anywhere else for your own. You remember that's what Jesus told that little lady by the well? He said, you come here and you get a little drink, but he said, I'll give you something you'll never thirst again. I'm telling you, this is something that doesn't fade, and this is something that is so faithful, it stands firm for all eternity. It stands firmly for all eternity. But I want to tell you this. He says, it's a stone, a tried stone. Do you notice that he says it's a precious cornerstone? A precious cornerstone. What does that mean? Well, when something is precious to you, it's your favorite. And it has your favor. When it's something that is precious to you. If you've got something like that, now you know something that may be precious to you is not necessarily that to someone else. But when you've got some, I mean, there's some people, they've got little trinkets and little gifts and little things. And man, it's just their favorite. They've had it. They've kept it. They've treasured it for time on, right? Can I tell you, Jesus is the same way. Do you know what he says here? He says he's a precious cornerstone. You know what Peter said? Peter said he gave up the precious blood that cleansed us. He said to you that believe, he is precious. And then Peter, in 1 Peter chapter number 2, he quotes this verse. He said he is a chief cornerstone, precious and elect that we're built on, and the saints are there with him forever. Amen. What do you say? I'm saying to those of you that know him, he is precious. He is your favor. I mean, you read over in the book of the Song of Solomon, and you begin to read about what the lady is saying to Solomon. She said, he's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright in the morning star. He's my love. He's the one that I just fell head over heels with. Amen. Right? Amen. Some of you men need to wake up and smell that. Right? Some of you ladies say amen. What I'm saying is this, man. He's somebody, he's your favorite. Amen? I mean, that's your favorite. I'm going to tell y'all something. Well, I'd knock y'all down over chocolate ice cream. I mean, that's my favorite. I like it. Amen? Now, some of y'all say, well, I'm a vanilla man. Well, you might be. Some of you might say, well, I'm, you know, butter pecan. Go help yourself. I like that chocolate. I just about don't care who makes it, do I? We go somewhere, she'll say, what do you want? I said, what do you think I'm getting? She said, you're getting chocolate. Hallelujah. You know what? That's my favorite. That's my favorite. Now, she wants peanut butter. I know what she wants. Amen? Hey, and that's her favorite. That's okay. And we've all got, but can I tell you, when it comes to this foundational stone, when it comes to Jesus, he is favored. But I want to tell you something. He's favored of the Father in heaven. He's favored of the Father in heaven. I mean, hey, what do you mean? I'm telling you, God built this foundation. He established that Jesus is the foundation. God built it. He said, behold, I'm laying this in Zion. He told us where he was putting it. He told us who it was going to be and how it was going to be, because this is his favored. Do you know what he said on the day that Jesus got baptized? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember when he died on the cross? That was his Son that he's well pleased in. Remember what he said on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus transfigured before James and John and Peter? He said, this is my Son. He said, hear ye him. What do you say? I'm saying he's the favorite. He's the favorite, and he's highly favored of God. And I'm telling you, when you and I come to him, hey, that ought to be your favorite. Well, preacher, you know, I like to go to church, but I don't like this. Hey, I don't know. We've all got those things, I guess, in our life. But I'm telling you, Jesus ought to be your favorite thing. He ought to be your favorite out of all of it. Who's your favorite Bible character? Jesus, because he saved me. Amen. Who's your favorite literary hero? Jesus, because he saved. Who's the one that you dream about, you think about, your mind goes to? Hey, he's the favorite. Amen. And it ought to be Jesus. It ought to be Jesus. I mean, he is a highly favored. He is a greatly loved. He is a highly honored. Do you know that God the Father in heaven loves? He says that one of these days, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. You know what I told you before? I'm just beating the rush. I'm getting a head start on it. I'm going to go ahead and do it now. He is my King, my Lord. He's a favored and a precious stone. Well, let me just wind this thing up thinking about it like this. He said, he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, he's not going to let you down. He's not. You won't be disappointed. You won't leave shaking your head and say, man, I thought it was going to be different and better than that. You'll never do that. He's favored, but I want you to know more than anything, he is the focal stone. This is the stone that all of history focus is now upon. Do you know that? The stone that is laid there is the focal point of all history. What are you saying? I'm saying he's in the middle of everything. I've told y'all this before, but do you know in the Baptist church and many other churches, the pulpit's right here. It's on a usually on a lifted stage or lifted area, and it is the center of the church. It's the center. Why? It's not because of the preacher. Not because necessarily of the lighting. It's not because of anything. It's because of the Word of God. And what we're preaching, who we're preaching about, that is the center of attention. I'm not the center of attention. The music is not the center of attention. Hey, the Word of God and the person of the Bible is the center of attention. He is the focal point. I want you to know, hey, everything in history points to this stone. Do you know the ancient prophets used to predict him? The old folks used to talk about him. The saints of the Old Testament prophesied about him. He's coming. He's coming. Even all the way back to the Garden of Eden when God told Adam and Eve that they'd failed. He said, but I'm going to send somebody that's going to crush that serpent's head. Amen. I'm going to take care of this situation. Aren't you glad of that? Thank God. Aren't you glad that that's the way that thing's going to work out one of these days? That, hey, Jesus is going to stomp down on the head of Satan, that old serpent. Amen? But do you realize when you're thinking about the focal point of all history, do you know that our time is measured? Now, I know science is trying to mess with it now, but our time is measured in those factors of the Lord. B.C., you remember that? Y'all been to history class and they talk about things happened B.C. You know what B.C. means? Before Christ. B.C., before Christ. I know they've changed it today to B.C.E., before the common era. It still starts with Jesus. Trust me. And then in the time that we're currently in, A.D., you say, what does that mean? After his death? No. A.D. is from the Latin Anno Domini, which means in the year of our Lord. You know what? Hey, even the Catholic folks said, he's still alive and we're living in time waiting for him to come back for us. Amen? And do you realize that makes him the focal point of all of our history? But he's not just the focal point of our secular history. He's the focal point of Bible history. As I said, the prophets predicted him. The old saints were looking for him. You go over and look in the book of Hebrews and it talks about in chapter number 11, all the saints. It talks about, you know, all the different ones, Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses and so on. You can go through there and you see what it says they did by faith. But it said all these died not having seen the promise. What does that mean? That means they were looking for him. They were looking for him to come and do what he said he would do. Do you know that all of Israel was looking for the Savior, for the Messiah to be born? Do you realize that? Hey, the Jewish folks today are still looking for a Messiah. They don't realize that he's come, but they're still looking for him. What I'm saying is he's the centrality of all history. Do you know that he is the centerpiece of all that's going on in heaven? I believe everybody's looking at the Father right now and they're saying, is it time to send your son? Is it time for Jesus to go? Is it time? And God the Father's sitting there patiently waiting until the day that he's going to look over and he'll say, go bring your children home. Amen. It's time. Are you waiting on that? Can I tell you then, you know what Paul said? He said, I'd not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep in Christ, that you saw not, even as others which have no hope. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died, and we do believe that he died, right? And that he rose again, we believe that even so, also them which sleep in him will he bring with him. He's coming again. He's going to come back in the clouds, and the dead in Christ are going to rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And Paul said this. He said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You thought about that? Boy, you talk about history changing. But our focal point of history right now is We're looking for him. John's on the Isle of Patmos. John has seen the revelation of all, you know, all this stuff that's going to happen and how the world's going to change and how, you know, Satan's going to be defeated. He's seen every bit of this. But at the end of that writing, you know what he says? He hears Jesus say, "I'm he, and behold, I come quickly." And old John looks up and he says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." We're ready for this thing to be over. He's the focal point. He's the focal stone of everything you and I believe and know. He's right at the middle of it. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Y'all heard Lynn sing that song the other day. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Amen. Oh, listen. He's all you need today. He ought to become the focal point. He should be the focal point of your very life. Just draw a circle around it, right in the middle of it is Jesus. You know what you need to do? Just step over there and get on the bullseye with him. Say, he's the very centrality of my life. The very centrality of my life. He's a sure, promised, foundational stone. And he's not going anywhere. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning. Maybe the Lord's spoke to your heart about some things. And you need to see that he is the centerpiece. Do you know that all of hell hates this foundational stone? All the minions, all the demons, all of the dark side of hell hate that Jesus came and that he became the Satan himself. Do you know that? Satan said, "I will be like them. I'm going to rise my throne above the throne of God." But you know, he hates the fact that one of these days, Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you know what? All of heaven rejoices. All the saints of God rejoice that Jesus is Lord. Let's stand this morning. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron? 379. There's a fountain filled with blood. If you need to come, would you come this morning? Listen.